This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog, Barnaby, loves the Farmer's Dog. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you ideas for how to build happier habits into your daily life. This week, we'll talk about why you should make a running list of your favorite things and how you can know yourself better by reflecting on a one-word or one-phrase theme for the year. I'm Eleanor Rubin, a 12-year-old normally in New York City, but right now I'm in Kansas City visiting for the holidays. I'll be popping in throughout this recording session a couple of segments with my mom and my aunt, and I'm going to give my try this at home suggestion.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm also usually in New York City, but right now I am in KC too, with my daughter Eleanor and my sister Elizabeth Kraft, all here in one room in a studio in beautiful Kansas City.
I'm Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer, usually in LA, but right now I am also in Kansas City. And yes, Gretch, we're recording early in Kansas City because we wanted to get in a studio together along with Eleanor.
That's right. We wanted to take advantage of all being in the same place. So before we jump into Eleanor's Try This at Home, we wanted to say some people have already started posting to our Instagram hashtag happier podcast with something that makes them happier every day. So be sure to join in on that for January in 2018. It's super fun. And tag us on Instagram. I'm at Gretchen Rubin. And what are you on Instagram?
At Liz Kraft.
At Liz Kraft. And the hashtag is happier podcast. So every day, post something that makes you happier or helps you keep your good habits. That's tons of fun. And also in episode 149, Elizabeth and I talked to Roz Chass, the legendary cartoonist and author. And she made such an impassioned case for the happiness boosting potential of the ukulele that I bought a ukulele as a present, a Christmas present. And Eleanor, here, give us some ukulele stylings.
Okay.
There we go. Oh, maybe you could learn to play our theme song on the ukulele.
Oh, that would be great. Cool.
Okay, that's going to be very advanced.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ukulele strumming in mom and dad's apartment the last couple of days.
Yes.
It's the melodic tunes, the ukulele.
I believe that Eliza told Eleanor to stop uking. So that can be a theme for 2018, is the ukulele. So thank you, Roz Chast. We are heavily going down your Try This at Home tip. So Eleanor, this week, give us your Try This at Home tip.
Well, my Try This at Home tip is keep a running list of all your favorite things. And I've been doing this for a couple years, maybe like 3 or 4 now. And I've just found that it's really helpful. And basically, you just, any time that you think of like a song or a book, a movie, or even a place that you visited, just write it down in a little notebook. You could write it down even on your phone. I don't do that for some reason. But I have a couple examples from when I started it, which is about 3 years ago. Yeah. Pusheen, which is like a little cartoon website of a cat that I was really into for some reason. Mango, which is still my favorite fruit. Regina Spektor and Sylvanesso, which are two musicians that I was really into, but now I'm not. Daniel Pinkwater and Ross Chast. And Daniel Pinkwater is kind of like an absurdist author that I really love. And Ross Chast was on the podcast 149, and I still really love her. And graphic novels, which I also really liked. They're pretty self-explanatory. And it's just, it's kind of fun to look back on what I used to like. And it's kind of serves as a time capsule to just see all the fads that I went through. Yeah. And it's also useful. Just, you could also make lists of, you know, mine is just what, something that you like, but you could also make lists of, you know, things that you hate. If you keep forgetting that you hate mayonnaise, like me, you could write that down so you'd always remember, or things that make you laugh, or things that make you sad. And yeah, it's just generally really lovely. Also, it's good for Christmas lists. I tend to go blank on what I like. So it's kind of good to flip through that and be like, oh, maybe I'd like a pushing stuffed animal or a Ross Chast book or something like that. And yeah.
Well, what I love the idea for me is writing down restaurants that I liked.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we always go blank.
Yes.
Like you say, you just go blank on something. It's like, what restaurants do we like? If I had a list of restaurants I liked in different neighborhoods,
yes,
even different cities,
yes,
that would be incredibly valuable.
No, because somebody will say like, oh, let's get together for lunch in XYZ neighborhood. Is there a place you like? And you're like, I can't think of a single place.
Yeah. So that would be super great.
Yeah. You could even write down like websites or links to a video if you're going that deep into it. And it's just, it's really anything that you like or whatever you choose the list to be about. And it could, you could make it like a vision board as well. Mine is just kind of like a messy list, but you could have it like a bulletin board with all kinds of Pinterest-esque ribbons and flowers, if you like. But,
or it seems like some people, when they make lists like this, get really into like using different colored markers for different colored things. Like restaurants would be in red and songs would be in blue. And some people get really into that kind of bullet journaling aspect of it. I'm kind of with you, Eleanor. I mean, you just use a black pen and a notebook, and that seems to be enough for you. But some people, I think, really take pleasure in even just the visual expression of a list like that would be itself be fun for them.
But it really is like a diary. I mean, for someone like me who doesn't keep a diary, a list, because just that'll, like you said, if you go back and say, oh, 5 years, I loved, you know, the movie Lady Bird, then it'll just bring back all the memories of that time.
Or like we spent hours discussing Game of Thrones over Christmas in 2017. It's like, like, that's right.
Because sometimes a diary is a little bit too much to do. I started one and I felt like I just couldn't keep it up. It was too much to try to write even like a paragraph every day, because sometimes you just don't have the energy. But it doesn't take much energy to write down like a single bullet point in a random notebook. I mean, you could just do that anytime.
Well, this is why I have my one sentence journal, where like, and this is like a journal actually that you can buy if you're interested in doing this, where you write down one sentence, because like you say, even a paragraph feels like too much, but one sentence feels manageable. So I'm really into these like non-traditional ways of keeping memories, because they're easier. It's like, well, maybe you're going to do a Pinterest board, or maybe you're going to do, you know, people have all different mechanisms that they use, but this is a great one. And also, one of the things research shows is that one of the great ways to make yourself happy in the present is to reflect on happy things in the past. And this is a way to remember things. You're like, oh, I completely forgot about how much I love Daniel Pinkwater. You know, sometimes you forget, and you know, maybe if you don't, if you check the book out from the library, you wouldn't even have a visual cue of like, oh, there's my book of Daniel Pinkwater. So you sort of forget about it. And then you, when you see it memorialized, it reminds you just of that pleasure and that happiness that you experienced in the past. Or, oh, So it's a memory aid in a very happy way, as well as being kind of a guide for the future.
Yeah. It could be like a, as you said, kind of like a vehicle for nostalgia as well. Yeah, because that's, you know, time capsules. And if you have it for as long as I've had, you look back on some pretty random things.
Would it be great? I'm sorry. On a practical level, it would be great in terms of gift giving. Like, if Eleanor could look back and say, oh, when I was, I'm just thinking about like Jack, oh, when I was 8, I loved these books.
Yes.
Because I feel like once your child gets past ages, you totally forget what they like. Like if I have to get a gift for a 4-year-old, I have no idea what a 4-year-old likes.
Yes. Okay. Or like we, even with like, okay, so we gave Jack Roald Dahl's George's Marvelous Medicine because somebody who has a child that age was like, oh, my kid loves this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't remember what Eliza and Eleanor liked as 8-year-olds. Yeah, that's a great point.
It rang true. He totally loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, Eleanor read him the whole book, which was very
in one day.
Very good cousin.
Yeah, it was a very, very successful thing. So Eleanor, when did you start this? For years, it's just in a notebook, and you keep it kind of sporadically. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I think I started in fourth grade. I'm in seventh grade now, and I think I started when I was 9, so about 3 years ago, because my friend just gave me a notebook, and I didn't really know what I was going to do with it. It's so small, so I just decided I would start doing that.
Well, that's another thing is I feel like I have all these gorgeous notebooks that people have given me, but I don't have enough uses for notebooks. So this would be a way to make good use of it.
Yeah.
We just have a giant basket of random notebooks in a closet.
So we do.
Maybe you can use one of those.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to point out that obviously the lists and the note taking runs in the family.
Yes. Yeah.
Eleanor got that gene from
me. I definitely did.
Well, let us know if you do try this at home and how keeping a running list of your favorite things works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@GretchenRubin.com. Or, as always, you can go to happiercast.com/151. This is episode 151. For everything related to this episode, and I will definitely include an image of Eleanor's favorite things lists.
And our segment would not be complete without this list of favorite things.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Does it really work?
Of course it does. You try it. What things do you like?
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And now, Elizabeth, it is time for a happiness hack, and this one comes from you.
Well, it kind of comes from Eliza, actually, your other daughter, because she got us all to do this, which is to do an escape room.
Yes.
As a fun family activity.
Now, before Eliza introduced us all to this idea of escape rooms, we had no idea what they were. So what exactly is an escape room?
Yeah, so it's you go to a place and they usually have several different options like prison break or
stage
bank
coach.
Robbery. Yeah. And you go in into a room with a group of people and you just have to escape. They lock you in.
Kind of. They don't really lock you in.
You can get out.
Yeah.
And they just leave you there and there's clues all over the room and you have to figure things out, and clues lead to keys, and then you can unlock something, and in whatever you unlock, there'll be another clue that leads to another key or whatever it may be. And it was just real. It's so engaging. I mean, you just, the second you're in there, everyone is just on high alert.
You have an hour.
Yes,
the one we did, we
one
had an hour.
Yes.
You could get clues too. So if you got stuck, we had to ask for clues. It is. It's just super. It's really a fun. And you know, Jerry. I think it was Jerry Seinfeld who said there's really no such thing as fun for the whole family. But this was really, I mean, Dad went and Jack went. So we had a huge span of years.
Yeah, eight
and
to...
Everybody was running around. Jack was totally into it. He unlocked things. Dad found an important clue. We all found clues.
Yeah. We
all worked together to try to solve the puzzle.
Now, I should say we did not escape.
Yeah, we did not escape.
We failed to escape.
We were close.
Well, sort of close. But even though we failed, we still had a great time. And then the game master came in at the end and he walked us through how we would have escaped, which was satisfying.
Yes.
So I felt like we got the full experience.
But the reason that this is a hack, I think, is that sometimes when you have a big family group, it's hard to think of what's something that everybody could do together that would be fun.
Yeah.
Because some things are really fun to some people, but they're not as fun for others. And this was something where I was surprised at how everyone was enjoying it equally. And it was something we were all really sharing. We were all really collaborating. We were all running around like chickens with our heads cut off in this little room.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing just to know about. It is not cheap.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for, like, it was sort of like the afternoon of the day after Christmas activity. So it kind of shaped the whole day. So it served that function of being the fun thing that we're going to do as a family today.
Yeah. And I would say also it's super fun for the whole family. But also, I mean, I could see Adam and I doing this with like two other couples and then going to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a fun, because it's only an hour.
Yeah.
It's not, and then it's not like going to a movie where you're just sitting there. You know, you're actually talking and engaging. So.
Yeah, yeah. And so there are tons of these. I mean, once Eliza pointed them out, like in New York, there's tons of options. Here in Kansas City, we've been to three different ones over the years.
I think there are about 15 now. They keep growing and growing there more and more.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a really popular thing to do. It kind of sounds a little bit scary, but it's not, because you're like locked in and... but it's very much like puzzle. It's like solving a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's that fun. So.
And just one final comment I want to make is that you may think this doesn't sound fun and it's not for you and you don't want to do it, because that's exactly what I thought. And I just went along to be a good sport.
Yes.
And I loved it. And I'm like, I want to do another escape room as soon as possible.
Yeah, so. It's more fun than it yes. So that
so
was a good
thanks thought. To Eliza for introducing us to this hack.
And now we're going to switch gears to a know yourself better. And one way to know yourself better is to ask, and this is a question we've asked before, but it's such a helpful know yourself better question. We're posing it to ourselves again this year, which is, what is your one word or one phrase theme for the year? And this is a great know yourself better question, because whatever you would pick shows you a lot about yourself and what your most important aims are for yourself. And that's a strangely... That is something where it seems like that would be very obvious, but I think sometimes just in the tumult of everyday life, you can sort of forget about, like, well, where am I really wanting to go this year? So this is a good exercise for that.
Yeah. So Gretchen, last year your word was repurpose.
Yes.
And other times you've had upgrade, you've had lighten up.
Yep.
Good word for you.
Yeah.
Good phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. And Elizabeth, what are some of your highlights from previous years?
I had free time one year.
Ooh,
I had
that was a good one.
Style 2000, I think, back in 2000. That didn't go anywhere, unfortunately. One year I had Hot Wheels, and that was the year I finally got a car in L.A.
Yeah.
Novel, because I was going to write a novel, and I wanted to do novel things.
Yeah.
That was half successful. Last year it was home, because we were, as discussed, doing so much renovation on our house.
Yeah. This is really interesting, because for both of us, some years have been more successful than others.
Yeah.
These are aspirational themes. They're not necessarily things that get 100% executed, I would say.
So what's your theme this year?
My theme for this year is delegation. And we sort of foreshadowed this because in episode 144, we had the Try This at Home of be willing to delegate. And that really got me focused on delegation because I talked about those three questions that I came up with. Does this task need to be done at all? Is this task something that only I can do? And would delegating this task help me fulfill my mission, my larger mission, better? And I just realized I really need to get better at delegating. So I decided that is my year theme, is delegation.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time doing things that take away from your other work.
Yes, yeah. So I'm going to figure out like a lot of different ways to delegate more. And how about you, Elizabeth? What's your one-word theme for this year?
My theme isn't a very fun one this year. Mm. It's not as fun as free time or Hot Wheels, but it's control.
Ooh.
Because I feel like I've just been careening around like I'm a type 1 diabetic. I feel like my A1C, which is my important number, is not where I want it to be, and I'm not on top of it.
Yeah.
I want to lose weight. Like, I just want to get control over, you know, just everything in my life. And I want to feel like I'm not just like with school, like I'm not just like, wait, what's this week? What, you know, it's free dress day on Thursday. Oh God, let me plan for that. You know, I want to be on top of everything.
Right.
So that I think I'll actually feel more relaxed if I'm more in control.
Well, it's interesting that you picked this because when you look at the happiness research, one of the factors that makes people, that contributes a lot to how happy people are, is how much control they have, especially over their time. And that people who feel in control, especially control of time, are very happy. Like, if you look at it in comparison to like, does having money make people happier? Well, it's really having control. And obviously, sometimes money can buy you control because it's like, you don't have to buy something on sale. You don't have to wait. You can just get it now. So those things are sometimes linked. But this idea of just feeling like you've got your life, you're driving things yourself.
I should hone this though to self-control. Like, to me, it's really more about self-control.
Oh, that's
it. It is about, you know what I mean?
Control generally.
Yeah.
Self-control. Well, you know, I have to say as an upholder, like that is, like, I love that. Like, right. The idea, you know, that one of the mottos for upholders is discipline is my freedom. Yeah. And so the idea of improving self-control to me does sound as delicious as free time, as maybe as killjoy as that sounds.
So we'll see how I do. I think I'm in a headspace, you know, to make it happen.
Oh, that's good. But you know what I think we should do? So you and I, for our 18 for 2018, we posted them. And I feel like that really helps just seeing it. So I'm going to write my word in like big bold letters on my computer. Because I feel like if I see delegation every day, it's going to remind me to constantly have that discipline to think delegation.
I'll do that too.
Yeah.
And what was fun, Gretchen, is Christmas dinner, we sort of went around the table and everyone revealed their word for the year, their theme for the year.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. Eleanor, will you tell us your word?
Mine was dedication, because I feel like it can be applied to every area of my life, like my friends, my family, and my schoolwork. What were some other ones? I know Eliza's was comfort.
Comfort and involvement. She had an A word and a B word. Yes.
She wanted to feel as comfortable at school as she feels at home.
And she wanted to she's been working a lot on being involved and she wants to stay very involved. Yeah. So that was good.
And then Jax was funny. Jax was TNT. And I said, oh, it's like you're blowing up the door on a new life. And he's like, no, I literally want to blow things up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because this is a good know yourself better for other people. You help know them better because it's like a little insight into their inner psychic processes. So that was a very fun exercise to do as a family. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gretch, we got an email from our listener, Zoe, who had a great idea about how to keep your word forefront in your mind, which is, she said, you can get a piece of jewelry with the word engraved on it. She said, Etsy. So there's a lot of Etsy shops where you can buy a piece of jewelry and have it engraved for not that expensive. And I think that's a great idea. I should do that.
That would be good.
It's so unlike me.
It is.
But it's good to do things that are outside of the box. Yeah.
Flashback to your year of novel. Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think this is a good know yourself better exercise because as you move forward into 2018, you want to think about like, well, what would really move the needle for me? What would really make me happier? And I think it's easy to be reactive and just like going through life, dealing with what comes your way and to be pushed around by other people's aims or desires or to-do lists. And this is another way, we've talked about lots of ways, but it's another way to sort of keep your eye on what is it that you want for yourself. And that's very valuable because your life is going to be happier if it reflects your values, your interests, your aims. And this is a way to stay focused on your own aims and not just get dragged into other people's aims.
By the way, Gretchen, we have for, you know, Sarah and I host Happier in Hollywood, and we have a Facebook group. And in our Facebook group, people have started putting their words.
Yeah.
So I've been reading those and being very inspired by them. But I have to say my favorite word anyone has had is breakthrough.
That's a good word.
I don't feel like it applies to me this year, but I'm just waiting for the year where I'm like, breakthrough is my word this year.
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah, I can't wait to see what words people pick. We've done this in years past, and it's always super interesting to see what people pick. So let us know what word you pick. If you pick a one word or one phrase, you can also have a phrase like Hot Wheels. Sometimes people feel like it absolutely has to be one word. No, you can do a phrase if you want.
Coming up, Eleanor and I are going to give a joint gold star to someplace in Kansas City. But first, this little break.
You know, Elizabeth, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like, I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But FrameBridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com, or you can visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. FrameBridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to FrameBridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's FrameBridge.com. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
Okay, Gretch, it's time for demerits and gold stars, and you this week are up for a demerit.
So my demerit is driving related. Elizabeth, I know you feel my pain because we both are neither one of us like to drive. You drive all the time now because you're in LA, but I don't drive much in New York at all. And one of the things I'm always like, but when I'm in Kansas City, I'll drive every day and that'll like keep me in the habit of driving. But I have only driven twice when we were in Kansas City. And so I give myself a demerit because I really do feel like it's important for me to feel like, yes, I do drive. Yes, I feel comfortable in a car because I am a fearful driver. I wrote about this a lot in Happier in Home. And for a while, I was driving in New York, but I'm not really driving in New York very much anymore. Driving in New York is hard.
I would never drive in New York.
But driving in Kansas City is easy. And I've only done it twice. So
that's, you still have like a day. Maybe you can squeeze in some driving.
Yes, I'll just go up and down Ward Parkway for 2 hours in both directions. Yeah, get that in. But so that's my driving-related demerit. But so take us up with a gold star, also Kansas City-related. What's your gold star?
Yeah, Eleanor, do you want to reveal our gold star?
Our gold star for today is Winston.
Yay!
Yes.
Hooray.
Winstead's, I know we've mentioned it several times on the podcast.
We did a live recording.
Oh, that's right.
Winstead's a couple years ago. Yes.
It's a burger joint, I guess is what you would call it. It's been around forever, and it has these very flat, skinny hamburgers that are the best hamburgers on the planet.
They're delicious.
But can I just say, we are huge fans of the television show Parks and Recreation. And in Parks and Recreation, there's this miniature horse named Lil Sebastian. And everybody in Pawnee, Indiana is like the most gigantic raving fans of Lil Sebastian. And so one character comes in from the outside, Ben, and is like, I just don't get Lil Sebastian. And everybody else is like, what are you talking about? Lil Sebastian is the best.
Lil Sebastian made his debut at the Last Harvest Festival in 1987. And he was an instant phenomenon.
So what am I missing? What's the deal with this pony?
He's not a pony, Ben. He's a mini horse. There's a big difference.
Well, then why is he so famous? Does he do something? What does he do?
Son, this horse has an honorary degree from Notre Dame.
And last night, Jamie's like, I really don't get the thing about Winstead.
Oh,
I was like,
really?
What are you talking about? It's the greatest thing of all time.
I said to him, you picked the wrong place to add in your opinion about Winstead.
Yeah. Yes, Elizabeth and I have trained Jack, Eliza, and Eleanor to have the proper reverence.
Yes, and they also have this great thing. If you eat there, you can order a skyscraper, which is a giant sundae, and they sing and play the tambourine across the restaurant as they, you know, as they bring you your skyscraper.
Yeah. Yeah, so gold star.
So thank you for Winstead's. And I have to say, Gretch, Winstead's has tweeted me before.
Oh my gosh.
I'm always like, oh my God, Winstead's tweeted me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Oh, I'm going to have to tweet them too. Well, that's it for this episode. Coming to you from Kansas City. Remember to try this at home. Keep a running list of your favorite things. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Special thanks to our guest, Eleanor Rubin.
Yay!
Also, thanks to our producer, Kristen Meinzer, and to Adelia Rubin, who you'll all be meeting in upcoming episodes, our new producer.
Yay!
Also, thank you to Neil Simpson, who's helping us out with our recording today, who's exactly 1.4 miles away from Winstead's. And as always, thank you to Andy Bowers of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter and Instagram at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft on Twitter, and on Instagram, I'm at Liz Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like this show, as always, you know what I'm going to say. Please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. The resources for this week, you can remember to sign up for my monthly newsletter where I have links and resources and images and any kind of fun things, little bonuses that I send out. I'll put a link on in the show notes for happiercast.com/151, where you can just email and just put newsletter in the subject line and I'll know to sign you up. And you can also sign up for the Moment of Happiness. That's a nice thing to start the new year. Every day I will send you a happiness-related quotation to start your day right.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin.
And I'm Eleanor Rubin.
Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.